TV.
Hey everybody, it is the end of the week, and what better way to end the week than a teaching on the snatching away? Oh, I was going to bring you two verses on the new eye, but if you want to look at it over the weekend, you're welcome to. That way you'll be ready for Monday. The two verses are 1 Corinthians 15:10 and Galatians 2:10. As you will see, these are closely related verses, and I can't wait to get into them because I love this truth of the new creation and the associated new I, the freedom to be ourselves and to be under no constraints from God. I mean, we're under enough constraints via our fellow humans, and we modify our behavior continuously because of our fellow humans, and in many cases, it's necessary. We can't do everything we want to do. We shouldn't be able to do everything we want to do. We have to do what other people want us to do many times. That's the gracious, loving thing to do. But besides that, besides our responsibilities in life, there is a freedom to be yourself. I mean, nobody can change your basic personality, but a lot of times we squelch our basic personality, and this happens in the religious realm constantly. This, my God, you see them put on this air, this sheen of holiness, what they think is holiness. They think it's holiness, but they have no idea what holiness is. Holiness is separated to God. They think holiness is some kind of moral attainment. And they walk around with this false humility, keyword false. It's false righteousness, keyword false. False peace, keyword false. And you wonder, I mean, the logical step, they're on their way to the monastery and the nunnery. I'm not saying they're going to go to the monastery and the nunnery, but they're on the way. That's the Christian way. They're at the beginning steps of a human separation, not a godly separation. You know, the people that go to these weird places, the women that go to the nunneries and the men that go to these monasteries, or even the guys who wrote the book, The Every Man's Battle, it's this distrust of the Holy Spirit to control you. And so you feel you must control every aspect of your life. You must be circumspect. You must just pay close attention to every detail of what you do. You must stay away. You must separate yourself. Like Israel. Israel had to totally separate themselves from the other nations because they would be contaminated. And of course, Paul doesn't want us to habitually be around evil conversations because, as he says, evil conversations corrupt kind characters. But he also says in another place, we can't leave the world. So we have to rub shoulders, rub elbows and shoulders, depending on how you walk, with the inhabitants of the world. We can't hide ourselves away. It's tempting, but it's more glorious and a better testimony to God to trust the Holy Spirit to be in the world and not succumb to its seductions. You know, these men who go into monasteries because they're afraid of women. You know, they don't want to be tempted by women. They think that sexual sins are the worst sins of all. They're not. Self-righteousness is the worst sin of all. And these people are the most self-righteous. It's so ironic that they're committing the worst sin while thinking they're avoiding the worst sin. Ah, boy, is that an irony. But they go away to these places to hide themselves from any contact with women. They can't look at them. I mean, what does that say about them? They have so little spirit in them. One of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. They have so little of that, that I guess one look at a woman's exposed thigh or calf muscle will send them into a tizzy of sexual extravagance where they will just rape the woman and dismember her in their basement. I don't know what's wrong with these people. What's wrong with these people? They're upset. The funny thing is, I talk freely and teach freely on this topic, and they think I'm obsessed with sex. I write about it in my books. They think I'm obsessed with it, which is another crazy thing, another thing I'm accused of that I'm not guilty of. In fact, I'm the one who's free. I'm the one who's actually free. And how much better is it to say, what if I had a Victoria's Secret ministry where I ministered to Victoria's Secret models? Like that was my calling, and God gave it to me. And God told me in a vision that these women need the evangel. They need to know that God is at peace with them. This is a group nobody considers, and Martin, I'm sending you into their midst. How great to go into a group of gorgeous women, sexually attired, and to come home to my beautiful, gorgeous, sexy wife. I mean, it's just that it's the Spirit of God that keeps me. The Spirit of God is self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, gentleness, self-control. The nine fruits of the Spirit. And it's the Spirit that gets credit then for me coming home a sound, safe, dedicated man. And I love that. How different is that than having to hide yourself, having to bounce your eyes? You wimps. These guys who can't look at women. How weak are you? The Spirit of God is non-existent in you. Non-existent. You can't even look at them? That is so sad. Because it's fun to look at them and not do anything about it. Good heavens. Listen, I have to thank people. Patricia Lord sent me a box of coffee. Sent me a box of, like, a bunch of these. I guess she works for Starbucks. Italian roast beans. And I have a little hand grinder. You know, I'm old-fashioned everything. I do it so, you know, when I wake up at 4 o'clock, I don't wake up my wife. I can just grind coffee with my hand grinder. Yeah, it's a pain in the ass at times. Actually, it's a pain in the wrist. But Patricia Lord, and she has been through, Patricia, thank you. I know she has been through some terrible physical trials. I'm not going to disclose what they are because she sent me a personal note. But Patricia, I'm praying for you. And it's incredible what God has called for His saints to go through at the close of this eon, and I believe it is the close of this eon, and I'm going to talk about the Snatching Way. But anyway, Patricia, thank you for thinking of me in spite of your trials. And you said in your beautiful card that you understand my trials because of yours, but I'm telling you, what I've been through, I don't think it's anything compared to what you've been through. So God bless you, and may He continue with your healing as well. And to anyone out there who is suffering medical issues or psychological issues, anxiety, stress, I pray for you. I really pray for you. When we were at the cancer center yesterday, just for the meeting with Dr. Mallett, I wasn't there for an immunotherapy. I wasn't there for blood tests or treatment. I was just there for a discussion. But I've been there before, of course. Maria and I both had. And I just saw these people again. And I began to think of them as like my people. I began to think of us as a club, as a group. Like, I'm now one of them. Never thought I would be, but I'm one of them. And they were there for their treatments. I was there just for a consult. And I prayed for them. I felt for them. I really did. And both my wife, Maria, and Stacy, well, Maria especially, said I was kind of hard on Dr. Leibowitz on my show yesterday, and she's right. The surgeon, he had been nothing but gracious to me, and so I did not do him proper services, because as far as a medical man goes, a full-time medical man who's in the system, can't see past the system, that's just the way it is, I can't say that he treated me anything but kindly, respectfully answered my questions in a prompt manner, Dr. Leibowitz. He has many good reviews, some not so good, but I was encouraged, and I should have thought of it myself. I'm kicking myself for not to write him in the portal of the University of Miami portal, which is the communication app, whatever they call it, to write him a nice note and to say, explain why I'm postponing the surgery. I put it that way, postponing. I didn't say cancel. I said postponing, but, you know. Don't want to burn any bridges there. I thanked him for being so gracious. I explained to him that I wanted to see how much more I can improve. I said that I was really, you know, alarmed and troubled, really, by the radical nature of the surgery, especially in light of my recent startling improvements. And so I said that I would hope that someone else could take my place, that someone could have their surgery moved up, someone who really needed it could be moved up and could benefit under the hands of the most capable doctor in the state of Florida. That was a nice flourish at the end, I thought, there anyway. And so, grace and peace, Martin Zender. Did I say grace and peace? I don't know. I said thank you, I think. But anyway, there's that. Now, the snatching away. My God, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to mention this person's name. I'm not even going to mention his gender. I am just going to say that I want to help people who are thinking wrongly about the snatching away. This person wrote me and said, my whole scriptural foundation has been reset on a lot of doctrines over the past 4.5 years. And I know this individual, been writing this person for years, and that's true. His doctrines have been reset many ways, many times, in a good way. However, I still hold a different view. And I'm like, oh no, every time I hear this about the snatching away, I hold a different view. I'm like, why can't the body of Christ ever come to a common understanding, to unity of the teaching? Paul longed for this. He did. Paul wanted us. Paul said, remember, I quoted that verse. He wanted everybody to be teaching the same things, believing the same things. What is so damn hard about it? Apparently, it's impossible. And something even as simple as the snatching away, we have different beliefs concerning it. And I understand how people's faith comes and goes. I mean, I don't think God plays with their faith like a yo-yo. I don't think God gives them a little, takes a little, gives a little, takes a little, like yo-yos them in the faith department. I don't think so. I think it's they are somehow overcome with the worries of the world, and so the truth gets fogged, and they lose their sense of where they are, and they lose their sense of the scriptures. I'm here. Happens to me, too. So no condemnation, no judgment coming from Martin Zender, but I'm here to straighten you out, sir, to help you, and to help anyone who is feeling similarly concerning something that we all should be waiting for. Person says, I still hold a different view, R.E., the timing of the snatching away, than most in the body of Christ. Of course, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? The term itself indicates it's a rescue mission. Oh, I feel like crying, because how many times have I taught on this? No, the term itself has nothing to do with a rescue mission. The term snatching has to do with the desire of the snatcher. The Greek word is harpazo. And I've taught this 100 times. I will gladly teach it again. And the Lord is giving me patience even as I speak. And I say this to remind you, some people have never heard this so good. The Greek word harpazo, snatching away. And you know how important it is to look at other contexts where a Greek word occurs. Because you can go from a controversial context, which I didn't know the snatching away was so controversial. I guess it is. I didn't know. Okay, but I guess it is. I think the problem is it hasn't happened yet. Everybody's waiting. I think that's the problem. People's patience is being tried. But the best way to understand a word, especially a word in a context where people tend to be argumentative or doubting, is to go to a less controversial place in the scripture where that word occurs. And where's my Bible? Hang on, let me get my Bible. You go to a less controversial passage and you see how this word is used in that passage, and that will give you the definition. And you can see the clearly the definition in that passage has nothing to do with the rescue mission. And what would be wrong with a rescue mission anyway? Having said all that, it is a rescue mission. That's part of it, but it's not the term itself. No. The term itself indicates it's a rescue mission. No. But what would be wrong with that? My God. And then to follow up this way, even though our current distress is pretty bad, I think there's more the Lord will do before he snatches us out of here. I think there's more. How do you know? You have no idea of that. You are pulling that out of nowhere. I hate to guess where that's coming from. Even though our current distress is pretty bad, well, okay, yeah. You must have it better than most members of the body of Christ, honestly. That's what I'm thinking. Even though our current distress is pretty bad, I think there's more the Lord will do before he snatches us out of here. You think there's more the Lord will do. Why do you think that? Why do you think that? I think there's more the Lord will do. Okay, he might have to count down from 10 before he snatches us away. It could be that there's more the Lord will do. It could be that we will be snatched away in 1.25 minutes. But why would you think there's more the Lord will do? If you are really looking forward to this, as you claim you are, let me finish reading this. I live with the expectation, maybe this will help us here. I'm going to go to the scriptures to look up her positive. Don't let me forget. I think there's more the Lord will do before he snatches us out of here. Okay. That's your opinion. I live with the expectation, it gives me hope and peace, of escaping this wicked eon. Well, that's good. That's good. So you do speak of escaping. Then you say, but there's time keys in Scripture, I believe, that indicate the event is not imminent as most others believe. Dear sir, there are no time keys having to do with the snatching away. None. Zero. You write that there's time keys in Scripture, I believe, that indicate the event is not imminent as most others believe. The truth is there are no time keys in Scripture concerning the snatching away. Therefore, indicating that it can very well be imminent, as most believe. What time keys? Even the 6,000-year plan, that's a time key for Israel. The body of Christ can go any time before God returns to take up with Israel, before the peace treaty is signed, before the man of lawlessness is unveiled, any time before that, 2,000 years before that. As I've said many, many times, they were looking for Christ to return in the first century. Who's they? The first century believers, Paul and company. Why? What are you reading? Okay. This person is reading Wikipedia. This person went to Wikipedia to find out more about the snatching away. I do not recommend going to Wikipedia to find out anything about the snatching away. Rather, I recommend the Concordant Literal New Testament. I happen to see one out of the corner of my eye over here. One moment, please. And here we are, snatching away. Many of you know where I'm going here. I have the, this is my second version. My first version is falling apart. It's in the closet here, though. Concordant Literal New Testament. This is a hard copy, the hardback. This is the stripe of service. Even the limited service this Bible has seen, I still have the stripe of service. And you have it too. Look at your Bible and look at the dirt mark. Look at the wear. I showed this to Terry and Greg when they were here on their Bibles, and they had never heard of it. They were thrilled. Yeah, it's a stripe of service. That's Paul's letters. I guarantee you, right there, Paul's letters, the stripe of service. It shows everyone immediately that you are a body of Christ person because you read Paul's letters. And I guarantee you that I will open this on Romans and close it on Titus. There you go, Romans, and at the end, Titus happens every time. That's a stripe of service right there. You want to see the stripe of service on my old Bible? Hang on, I got it in the closet. It's there. It's just pretty rough. Hang on. The stripe of service. Okay. Here's my original. Oh, by the way, Bob Evelyn, thank you for the cord. It's working great. Bob Evelyn sent me a new cord. Thank you. It's working spectacularly. This is my original 1986 Concordant Literal New Testament. It's been roughed up a little bit over the years. Yeah, I have a quote on the front. It says, it's by Francis Bacon. It's been there for like 3 decades now. It says, whoever shall entertain high and vaporous imaginations instead of a laborious and sober inquiry of truth shall beget hopes and beliefs of strange and impossible shapes. I love that quote. Anyway, there's my stripe of service. See that? Look at that. Stripe of service right there, Paul's letters. Stripe of service from 1986 to 2024. It's kind of hard to see it from this angle. Anyway, there it is, stripe of service. You have it. Check your own Bible. Check your own Bible. So let's go to snatching away, and let's find out that this word does not indicate a rescue mission. In fact, it's the opposite of a rescue mission. But at the same time, it is a rescue mission. I'm just telling you that the term does not indicate that. But it is a rescue mission. Thank God. Should I say that again? Okay. I said it. How many times? 3 times? Okay. Snatching away. In between slave and so that, let's see, snatch. It says, seize with a sudden grasp and carry away as a wolf with prey. Harpazo. Seize with a sudden grasp. I love the wolf and its prey. And I want to go to that passage because it is truly definitive. John 10:12, the ideal shepherd is laying down his soul for the sake of the sheep, yet the hireling, not also being a shepherd whose own the sheep are not, is beholding the wolf coming and is leaving the sheep and fleeing, and the wolf is snatching them and is scattering the sheep. The wolf is harpazoing them, snatching them. Is that a rescue mission? Is the wolf rescuing? And there's other passages that indicate this. But I'm looking at my time. Next week, we'll do this again. This time, I'll give you every single occurrence of harpazo. And we will see that it is not, the word is not by itself indicative of a rescue mission. And again, what if it were? Great. We want rescued. And there's nothing, my friend, my fellow member of the body of Christ, there is nothing that says we are waiting for some sort of, as you put it here, time key. There is no time key for the snatching away. I learned that decades ago, I learned that. Because it's a non-Israelite truth. Israel's full of time keys. The seasons, Israel's loaded. It's true that when we see the time keys approaching for Israel, now that we know where we are on the Aeonian calendar and that the snatching away and God's taking up with Israel is going to be like lightning and thunder. They didn't know that in the first century. They didn't know that. They thought we could be snatched away centuries before God took up again with Israel, or that God would take up again with Israel long before he has. That's assuming the possibility that the early saints did not know, were not aware, were not made cognizant of by the Spirit of God, the 6,000-year plan of God. I don't believe they were. But even if they were, it does not mean that there necessarily must be this proximity of the snatching away and the taking up again with Israel in the form of the tribulation. No, that's not required at all. But as the time nears, we see that that's exactly what's going to happen. But they didn't know that in the first century. So it's the hunger of the wolf. Duran Duran. Hungry like the wolf. Christ is hungry. It speaks to, snatching speaks to desire. The desire of the snatcher. It's the desire of, it has nothing to do with the person being snatched escaping. Like, what is the lamb escaping? What is the sheep escaping is being snatched by the wolf? It's escaping peace and safety and happiness with its family back home. It's not escaping anything. It's an anti-snatching away for the sheep. Sheep don't want our Pazzo. Sheep don't want our Pazzo. We want it. For us, it's a rescue mission. But that's not what it is. Essentially, it is God's desire, Christ's desire for his body. And he's hungry like the wolf for his body. And the snatching away is indicative. Pictures communicates to us his desire for his body. Forget the trouble we're in down here. Forget the trials. Never mind all that. This is going to be a love fest, baby. A love fest.